All right, but what's up, everybody? My name is Jacob, Debonair. Disclaimer, I'm always gonna be honest, and I feel like it's easier for me to talk if we're all on the same page. So I'm gonna be like, I am nervous, but God is gonna get me through. And with that being said, I feel like that already takes a weight off me a little bit. But like Phil said, I am gonna be talking about perseverance today and just going through kind of what that has been like in my life, and then not really telling you, talking about like this idea of suffering, well, kind of talking about this idea of suffering stuff, but more focusing on giving you points to kind of get through it. Because I feel like a lot of times we can get stuck on just these ideas of just, let me think for a second what I'm trying to say. But just, yeah, perseverance in general. I'm just going to leave it at that. But my title is Perseverance is the Way to the Kingdom, and to Suffer Like Christ is to Rejoice in the Name We Claim. And kind of what I say about that is we are going to suffer in our lives, and we're going to go through stuff. So I feel like it's necessary to talk about it beforehand and talk about what the kind of things that you have to that go with perseverance and how to get through it instead of just going over it and acting like we're never going to suffer.
Okay.
So kind of going with that, I'm going to go more through my life in the past year, but also just this past week has been a long, it's been a long week for me. And I just feel like I had a lot on my plate, and specifically just with I had to write this message. I was also asked by Ross Lippincott to go play in Manhattan at a blues and barbecue thing for the men's outing there. And it was a lot of fun, but I got some blisters from the experience. So it was, we were playing for like 2 hours straight. So it was fun, but it was long, and I just feel like it was a lot going on, and I definitely had to persevere through that initially, which was just this that's just this past week, so it's always going on. But first, what I wanted to bring up is to talk about Luke 9:23, and I'm not really gonna read through it, so you don't have to turn there, but it kind of just talks about picking up your cross daily and how Jesus tells us to do that in order to follow him and be his disciple. And kind of the reason I bring that up is because for my first point is picking up your cross daily is not always a walk, but a limp, right? And then kind of just a segue from that into Luke 23, because we're gonna be going through Jesus's actual walk, because I feel like the greatest walk in human history wasn't a walk at all, but really just a stumble and this hard battle, right? Walking through this, not even walking, but stumbling and just carrying that cross. So we're gonna go through Luke 23, 26. And can I get an amen when we're there? Or y'all are fast. I appreciate that. So as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and waited for him. And kind of the reason I bring that up is because a common misconception I feel like among Christians is that perseverance is always going to be this upright walk. And I feel like to usher in the conversation about perseverance, it's like I want to like set the tone where it's like it's not always going to be like that, you know? It's not always, though it doesn't explicitly say that Jesus was like stumbling and falling with the cross. I feel like in order for them to call in another man, it's pretty, it can be assumed that it's pretty evident that, he was struggling. Like I was reading stuff about the cross itself, and Jesus wasn't actually carrying the full weight of the cross because it was long and 130 pounds, but he was more carrying, like, if you look at that, the top, right? These, like that shape. I'm not an architect, but I'm just gonna keep rolling with it. But it's like that shape on his shoulders, right? And he's walking like this. And then Simon from Cyrene comes up behind him and carries it like that. And picture two people kind of walking with this cross that's super long and super heavy, right? And it's not this big idea of, oh, you can't walk upright with that, right? And I just wanted to set the tone by saying, like, however you persevere and however you go through struggle, God sees that. And it's not necessarily about the appearance of it. It's more about, like, you giving it to God and walking with that, right? So I just wanted to kind of talk about that specifically and then bring it into my own life is that, this past year has been hard for my family in general, but I'm specifically going to go through it in like segments, right? And so on May, I want to say May 23rd, appreciate my mom. She date checks me. May 23rd, I had back surgery, right? Because I have scoliosis. I do still have it, but I had it. And it had gone to like, I think 47 degrees, right? And so the doctors were looking at me and they're like, so basically we were going to trust that you were going to grow out of it. But at the same time, I wasn't growing out of it. I had like a growth spurt. It got worse. It went from 35 to 47 in like a semester of college, which is a really fast period of time. And it kind of just caught everybody by surprise. And I was in a lot of pain. And I was kind of just like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's go for this surgery. And so they go in, and at first I'm like, what, how grueling can back surgery be? Which is just like, I was 18 at the time, so I'm like, I can bounce back from everything. I've been injured before. I felt like it was gonna be like any other injury in basketball. Like, I bounced back. But boy, was I wrong. I mean, it was not easy. And I just remember the first thing, them just all the first thing I got was all the different medications that they prescribed to kind of like let that set in of how like difficult it was. And it was like oxycodone, Valium, like all these different like huge like medications that I'd never taken before, and that people are talking to me, like my mom, my dad are like, oh, like you're gonna have to wean off of them. Like, don't just take this, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, I've never had these conversations before because I've never had to use these powerful drugs before. And I couldn't walk, you know, it was hard for me to kind of like grasp that feeling of always not being athletic anymore, right? Not having that ability to even like bend down and pick up stuff. I remember one time I dropped something, and then I was like, I'm just pick it up. And I went like this. And I was like, nah. Like, I was stiff. Like, there's a whole rod and nails in there. So it's like I was stuck like this, and I was probably laid out for about 3 months. And it's just like that was my battle. And I think it's perfect to kind of tie into this idea of like it wasn't a walk for me. It wasn't at all. And I at times felt a lot like my perseverance was, it didn't look right. I couldn't appreciate it, and I felt like other people couldn't appreciate it because I wasn't giving off this idea of I'm good, I'm upright, I'm pushing strong. I couldn't do that physically. And so I feel like that was a lot for me, kind of relates to Jesus and his walk, because you know, he physically couldn't do it. And I feel like it's always the greatest walk in human history was him going up to the cross and eventually getting crucified for everybody. So, and my first point would then be to like to conclude that first point would just be, you know, persevering isn't always a physical act. Sometimes it really is that, like, all I have to give is a cry out to you, God. You know what I'm saying? It's not anything more than
Come
that.
on, Jacob.
So, and
Yes,
kind of just
sir.
moving into then my next point, as I kind of, this is where I'm gonna like try to flesh it out a little bit more and kind of get more deeper into that understanding of persevering a little bit more. And it's that persevering through suffering makes it clear that your cross, the what pause. Persevering through suffering makes it clear what your cross is and shows you what you default to, you know? And the reason I say that is because it's so easy when we're going through suffering and we're going through trials to kind of fall back on our innate sins, right? Our default sins that are kind of stuck inside of us, and that we kind of wrestle with more than other things. And I say that to say, to turn to Colossians 1:24. And yeah, give me another amen when you get there. Awesome. So I'm gonna just go for it because I'm hearing a lot of people
Okay.
kind of
Thank
say
you.
amen. But right. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for, and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. And so I think this scripture is beautiful because it kind of just goes into this idea that the devil, it is so much easier to be angry, bitter, jealous, lustful, and sinful human race when we are suffering and persevering through trials, right? And I feel like we can either choose to kind of fall back on our innate selves and our sinful selves and kind of like walk in that, or we could trust this idea of what God has put out for us, which is through our suffering, it shows us what we're lacking in, right? It shows what's truly, I guess, deep inside of us that we would fall back on, I guess, when trials are hard. And it's easy. I'm not up here to say that any of this is necessarily like this hard thing to do, because it's definitely super easy. I feel like when something goes wrong, like when somebody cuts you off on the way to church, it's easy to be like just get mad and then want to like cut them off, like respond, do something else, do something back, like retaliate, right? But at the end of the day, it's like those things show us what we're lacking and what we can grow in.
Yeah.
And kind of my walk with that this year and what I've been dealing with that is a lot, because I feel like this past year has been grueling for my family, especially just with all the different trials that we've had to go through and specific things we've had to fight through with that idea of persevering through trial and not falling and defaulting on our sinful nature. Because earlier in the semester, when I was going back to college, everything was going well for the first 3, 4 weeks, and it was like chill or whatever, and it was going great until I got a call from my mom. I was actually in, I think, Hollister with my girlfriend in Charleston shopping for actually her family reunion. So it was a great time. It was a good time to be alive. It was great. I got invited to the family. But it was good. It was going great. And then I got a call from my mom, and it was just really random. It caught me off guard, but she just goes, "Hey, Jacob, what are you doing?" And I'm like, you know how those phone calls kind of go when it's like bad news, you could tell. So it's just like, I remember sitting there and I'm like, I'm in the store, like shopping for jeans, because that was the dress code. And I'm not a big jeans guy, so I really fought that one. But she kind of like had this tone. And if you know my mom, she's a very, very bubbly person. Like Lori Debonet is strong in that, and she just loves to talk and loves to be around people. So to hear her kind of be like more down, I was like, okay, what's going on? I think I should like take a second. And so she goes, your aunt, Auntie Carolyn, died actually a couple of days ago. And I remember just sitting there and I was like, what? Because it's kind of like, you don't expect that. You know, it's kind of random. Somebody that's like healthy, that's young, that's doing good, you know, that just catches you off guard. And I remember kind of just standing there. I was like, huh? I don't even think I said anything. I just remember kind of just taking it in. And I'm not a big scene guy, but I felt like I had the opportunity to make a scene, even though I didn't necessarily want to. But I kind of took the phone and I kind of like bent down and like was hunched over, like kind of on my knees. And I was just like taking it in, like crying. And I remember my girlfriend was like, oh snap. She says, like, go mode. Like, what's going on? Like, why are we in the middle of Hollister on our knees, like crying? And she kind of held me up. And I remember walking off to the side and being like, it's going to be a long semester, you know, because, that was October around there, and it was just the beginning of sophomore year. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, oh, like this is a lot. And if you know me, I'm not really the type to like just immediately go to being open and just accepting those sad feelings. I'm more of like the let's smile, let's laugh, let's have a good time. Like I'm always gonna be goofy. Like I think what a lot of people said to me, like, oh, you're never serious. You're never kind of this person that's just like ever like accepting, not really accepting, but like just showing the feeling that you're feeling, right? I just kind of went with it. And so for that to like happen, it was really the first time like away from New Jersey and my family that I was like, wow, okay, this was something big that I had to deal with away from everybody. And it was rough. I mean, then planning out like when I was gonna fly to Chicago as a family and kind of go back. And I remember my dad was my hero through the time because he was just like, he was strong. And it was his sister at the same time, though, because I mean, it's his sister. That's all I really need to say about that. It was just like, but he stayed strong and he kind of depended on us to hold him up. And it was real. And I remember just looking at him because that was the first time like I'd actually seen him like struggle like that. It had never been, it's not usual, but I feel like if you've met my dad to like just kind of feel those things and kind of wrestle with them. And I could see the hurt in him. And it kind of made me feel like, oh, I can be this, I can talk, I can kind of like accept those. But at the same time, it was hard because the funeral was only 2 days. And then I went back to Charleston where I go to college. And then that rest of the time, that was when I truly kind of wrestled with the idea of having to learning what I need to grow in, learning what I lacked as a person and what I defaulted in sin, right? Because I was alone and I felt like people couldn't understand that as a 19-year-old, just kind of dealing with these different stuff because you're with college students, right? It's hard for them to acknowledge something like death and kind of understand that and sit with you and talk with you about it. And so I just remember feeling that anger, that bitterness toward everybody. Like I didn't want to be that funny guy. I didn't want to be the person that was talking to people because I just experienced the death of my aunt. And it made matters worse. Like a day or two after I left Chicago after my aunt died. My grandma died as well. So I just remember it was like boom, boom. And I just remember thinking to God, I was like, dang, I don't know if I can do this because I'm alone. Like, I'm in Charleston. The closest family I have is in New Jersey, right? And so I just remember looking at everybody like they don't understand. And the devil really made me feel like it was me versus me. It's like a heavyweight fight against yourself that you're trying to tackle every day. And this choice between whether to give it to God or to kind of succumb to those, that sinful thoughts, those sinful ideas going on in your head. And I just remember I lost a lot. Like I wasn't a good boyfriend. I wasn't a good friend. I felt like I wasn't a good disciple at times. I just felt like I was losing. And it was hard because I just didn't know what to do. And I remember everybody kind of gives you like the cold condolence speech. And it was good because I knew they cared, but at the same time, I was like, I don't know how to like take that. Like, what do I do with that? You know, what do I do with, I'm so sorry for your loss. We can talk whenever. It was like, it was hard for me to bring up that conversation of like, oh, I'm struggling. I need help. And I felt like I was really persevering by myself, and I didn't kind of take advantage of growing my lactin. But it was kind of, I kind of went on like that for months. Like, I had to go to therapy at school. I had to talk to a lot of people, like campus ministry, different stuff like that. And I just remember just like slowly but surely God worked in me, and I started to see different things like in people's lives that I could take away. Because another family in the church that I'm really close to had lost a loved one, right? And so I kind of remember going to them. They would take me out and really seeing the kingdom through this, right? That whole perseverance in the kingdom, and kind of realizing that, oh, I'm not fighting by myself, that I'm not alone, right? And so I just remember fighting and fighting, but then having that other person come on me, right? And kind of accept me and persevere with me was a big thing, and kind of showing me that this is what it looks like to persevere with God, because I'm doing it too. Because we need those people. Like, I don't want to say that, oh, you should find or like that somebody else should like go through something terrible to like suffer with you. Nah, don't hope for that. But like, it's necessary to have those people with you that are like going through it, whether they're older, younger, it doesn't really matter, that can tell you, that can give you a voice, a reason, that initially is God, because they're not perfect, they're not gonna give you everything, but that's really God just speaking through them. And so that was necessary for me to sit down and be able to persevere with them, because I felt like I actually wasn't fighting myself anymore, that we all were fighting myself. And initially it was God fighting on my behalf, and me not persevering, just me, but me and God persevering. And it was a weight lifted off me, you know. It took months, but I felt like I got my smile back. I felt like I could joke, I could laugh. It wasn't always like this thought of my aunt and my grandma like dying. It was sad, but it wasn't always that, right? It was always like, oh, what happy memories can I like take from it? What lessons? I feel like the greatest thing I heard from somebody is, what lessons, who would they want you to be like after this happens, right? What would they want you to take with them? And my aunt was always present. She was always loving. She was always kind. And my grandma was the person that we all like surrounded around, like always had the cookouts, like whatever was going on, the parties, she held them. And I was like, those are in me, right? So I'm like, me persevering against that suffering and this myself and that default really taught me, like, oh, what I lack is I'm not vulnerable. I get angry a lot, and I'm a loner. I want to be alone. And so that showed me, and it was only possible through that suffering that I could see the things that I lacked in, which I think is only possible through God. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons He puts us through things, is like He wants us to grow, and that's our choice, right? Is whether we want to grow through Him, or kind of succumb to those whims of like, I'm fighting myself, and those snares that the devil sets up, because he wants you alone, because it's so much easier to fall when you're alone. And so one of the biggest songs that actually got me through it was No Weapon by Fred Hammond, which kind of just like is just a plea to God, telling him, like, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Like, you are my weapon. You are gonna fight on my behalf, and I don't have to feel like I'm gonna fall, or I'm gonna like bleed out on the ground, because you're my healer, you're my protector, and you're gonna help me through this. So one of the lyrics that I kind of always sing is like a beautiful bridge, and it hits every time. And it goes, I won't be afraid of the arrows by day from the hand of my enemy. I can stand my ground with the Lord on my side. With the snares they have set will not succeed. And I'm reading it, but it's saying, so I read it weird because it's supposed to be saying, but it just goes, but that it just has that much more power, which is like, I won't be afraid. I won't back down, because I know, God, that you're fighting for me, that the enemy, his weapons, his snares that he set up for me specifically, because he's like a lion that waits for us, right? That are set for me specifically won't get me down, but will actually, I should rejoice when I see them, because I know I'm being tempted for your good, God, and that I can fight through them and take heed in that and take hold and laugh at the devil's schemes and kind of give it to you. So I won't be afraid by any arrows, right? And I think that's just powerful. And it's like, if you need to cry to it, if you need to do anything, like I cried, I wept, I sat there, two synonyms, but I sat there and I thought about this different stuff going on. Like, I needed that time. And it really taught me as a man that be vulnerable with God, right? Learn the things you lack because they'll teach you to grow for everything and everything throughout this life. And so it's necessary to kind of take hold of that and kind of grow in what you lack. And to kind of like segue from that into my next point, kind of on a more positive note, is that persevering through suffering defines our roles as Christians. And what I mean by that is persevering kind of shows us, like on the opposite hand of our faults, it kind of shows us what we're innately good at, which is weird. And it's a weird thing to understand. It took me a while, like while I was thinking about it, to kind of grasp my head around that, like to wrap my mind around this idea of how can persevering through suffering show me the positive sides of myself, right? How can it give the church and the people around you something good to look at? It was weird, but I kind of through my study of like perseverance and thinking about what I was going to say, I kind of stumbled upon Romans 5, 3 through 5, which just kind of goes into this idea and kind of pushes it out farther and kind of lays it out in a way that I can't explain because it's laid out perfectly through God's words and the Bible. So give me an amen when you're there.
Amen.
Again, with that speed, I appreciate it. So, word. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out. Poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And the reason I kind of go to this is, like I was saying earlier, is that endurance and that process of kind of learning your character and learning what you lack first kind of allows you to walk into what you're good at, right? And it's a weird concept because it's like you have to learn what you lack in order to truly understand what you're good at in this sense, like not in general, but in this sense, right? And so the reason I learned this was because throughout that whole time I was suffering with those two deaths in the family and feeling like I wasn't vulnerable, like I lost my smile, which I did, and just different stuff like that. Like I had nothing to give to people. It was like I still would at times, apparently to other people, I didn't feel like it, but to other people give off this like joyful state. And it was weird to me because I was like, I don't feel joyful. I feel like I lack joy, actually. I feel like the least of all the disciples, kind of like Paul did. And I feel like I have nothing to give. But people be like, you're always joyful. You always have a smile. You're always showing up to service. You're always giving us a conversation. Well, we all know. And I think what it hinges on is when everybody else around you knows what you're going through, right? And anything that you have in your perseverance is appreciated, not only by God, but by the people around you. And I think that was the biggest things I had to understand was, what I think and what I'm feeling doesn't define what other people take away, right? And so it's like the endurance builds character, and through that character and through that growth in God, he shows like this is what your role could be. This is what you're good at. And I want you to take hold of that. But I'll give you a choice because I love you. You're not a robot. I'm gonna give you a choice whether or not you want to take it or you want to fight through this. And either way, I'm with you. But you can choose to grow in these things, right? And take hold of that positive, those positive things that you have to offer the people around you, right? And so through that, I kind of saw like people come up to me, they'd be like, yo, Jacob, it's like, why are you always so positive? Why are you always giving us like so much of yourself? Because you don't have to. And I feel like it hit because I was like, I'm not. I don't feel like I am at all. I feel like actually I'm giving you nothing. I feel like out of everything I have to give in a Sunday service, I'm giving you the least. Like I'm walking to the back of the room because I don't want to talk to you. You're walking to me actually and starting the conversation and kind of bringing me out of there. And then I'm joking with you, but yet you still somehow take this idea of I'm giving you something.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's like people have that effect on you, especially the kingdom, especially disciples, because always encouragers, right? Whereas even if they're seeking you out, they'll give you that idea that your smile is enough for me. And your smile, even though you're going through something and you feel like you're giving me nothing, gets me through the day. Like I didn't realize how many people I was affecting through that because all the different people on campus would come up to me and they'd be like, you're inspiring. You're helping me through this time, even if though it's smaller and I don't understand, you're giving me something to believe in. And it hit. So I was like, I got nothing. It's all God. And it's all I had. It's kind of like David always talks about, just cries out to God. Like, again, to my first point, like that, the crawling, the yearning for God, that's all I got. And just that idea of I'm stuck here, but apparently you're being affected. And so I feel like for everybody, when you're going through your worst and when you're kind of going through this idea of like you're stuck and you're not, and you don't know what to do, and God is giving you this choice of enduring to kind of build your character and show you your innate gifts of joy or serving, of patience, kindness, whatever you have innately that you kind of lean on, that God has kind of prompted in you, people will appreciate that, you know? No matter if they don't understand, you know, they're gonna, it may not seem like that right now, and it may be hard right now, and I understand that. I know it's hard sometimes to hear it from like a 19-year-old kid, but it's true. I mean, people understand that, and they're gonna like level with you, and they're gonna feel you out, and they're gonna meet you where you're at, I think is the biggest thing. And I think that's why God kind of puts the end of the scripture in place where it's like God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has, pause, that was the other verse earlier. But kind of going back to the other verse earlier, but now I rejoice in what I am suffering for. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. And I feel like that's why he says it, you know, it's so we can kind of have this idea that we're a family, and I feel like that we can go to other people and kind of rely on that to build, not only to build our character through Christ, but also to have this idea that build our character with other people. Because I feel like a lot of people have a lot to say that is good things to say, because I feel like a lot of times we take it as opinions, but I had to learn the hard way that, you know, they have good things to say, not everything's an arrow against me and meant to take me down. And so through those gifts, I feel like we can just impact other people and kind of move forward in that. And so yeah, I just say that in that idea of persevering, it's going to be hard, right? It's going to be trial ridden, it's going to be suffering, but I just want to talk to you today about those things because I feel like it's necessary to prepare for them, because I feel like in the Bible it also says to prepare in God, right? And kind of take this idea of being prepared in the scriptures and kind of knowing them well enough. Well, it's talking about in that specific verse to kind of convert other people and kind of give it to them and have any response to anything they bring up at you. But I feel like it's also true in just life. It's a life book. And in that, I feel like it's necessary to like take it as that so we can be prepared for what life throws at us, in specifically perseverance and then running through that and kind of being able to go through that. So in that, I know this is kind of shorter because I probably talked faster than I needed to. But yeah, to kind of round it out, at the end of the day, we as people are given a choice of whether to persevere for survival or persevere for a greater cause. And that it's going to always be harder to kind of persevere for survival by yourself, right? But when you kind of give it to God and kind of walk in that understanding of, I can do this with you, any trial and any circumstance can truly be overcome. And I say this preaching to the choir, right? Just everything I've talked about earlier, is I didn't believe this for a long time. And I didn't know I didn't believe it until I went through it. And so to kind of prepare your hearts for that, because suffering will come, is it's going to come and it's going to afflict you, but just to be prepared for that. And if we choose to persevere to survive, it just makes ourselves more open to sin, right? And it makes ourselves just more open to falling, and it can kind of hurt relationships, because I feel like another big thing is those misunderstandings, right? That always happen. I feel like I had so much of them when people don't understand, because not everybody is going to understand, but so many misunderstandings can happen when you don't kind of take hold of that person, of that idea of perseverance, and kind of give it to God, because people don't know what you're going through. And I'm going to emphasize that again, people don't know what you're going through until you say that, say what you're going through. And if you just expect them to and expect them to see that, I hate to break it to you, but it's gonna be rough. It's gonna be this real, like, just misunderstandings, like this whole thing where explaining something after you've hurt somebody, no matter what it is always not gonna hit as hard, right? As explaining it before. And just again, just some of the lessons I learned from kind of battling with this whole perseverance thing. So give other people your time, give them your understanding, and allow yourself to persevere with God for this greater idea of greater purpose, right? And not just to get through every day, because the whole world's called to survive. But at the end of the day, we know where we're going. So it's not only about survival, but about just being light to the world, like Bill said earlier. So kind of in that, kind of just we now I'm gonna just go into praying for communion and just remembering the cross, because again, that is the greatest walk in humankind, right? So if you could just bow your heads with me. Dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we just get to persevere with you, God, and that we just get to fight with you, and that no matter what was said today, God, that I can just impact these people, God, and give what you need to hear, Lord God, in this idea of we're walking with you, and it's okay to crawl. It's okay to feel like the weight of our daily cross is just too much to bear, Lord God. And it's just like that we all we have is a cry out to you. But I pray that we can just take heed in our heroes, that we can just take heed in the heroes in the faith on this earth and heroes in faith in this Bible, and just you, our hero, Lord God, and just remember what you did for us on that cross and what that truly meant. And that no matter what, we could just look to your word to kind of expand on that and take in exactly what that means. So again, thank you for this day, Lord God. I thank you that we get to remember you and we get to come and worship you today. And I pray this all in your name. Amen.
Thank you.